I'm very pleased to be able to come and speak to you.
Well, it's very nice of you to come.
Thank you. May we have your name?
Hello, set up the problem.
I won't take another thing. Hi, Daddy. Oh, hi, Mrs.
Oh, hi, Mrs.
He's always learned, isn't he?
I was always considered a very plain man.
Yes.
A plain spoken man.
Oh, yeah, that's very nice. Mm-hmm.
And a very plain man indeed, from every aspect.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure if you can hear. Very difficult for anyone in my position to manifest in this fashion, to talk to people on earth, and at the same time keep one's equilibrium, if one can use such a term, when applied to a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when one comes back and one endeavors to speak in this fashion, it's all very conflicting and complicated. Ignoring the vibration, tuning in, remembering things that one wishes to say, transmission of thought into sound, words, often words which don't indicate anything clearly, at least what one feels, I find extreme difficulty. My name, by the way, is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey? Yes. Oh, yes. You've been with me before, haven't you?
Oh, some while back.
Yes, I know. It's a long time.
The night soon after that, I'd never bother to come back again. I was so fed up and so disappointed and felt that I hadn't made my point. I hadn't transmitted my thoughts at all well or clearly. But nevertheless, here I am.
Thank you for coming.
I know that you're endeavoring to make it work. I know that you're striving to contact people of all races, all creeds, by the use of these talking machines, retarding machines. When you're able to play these things back to people, it does, I feel sure, give them some knowledge and experience. May be difficult for some to accept.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it makes them think, if nothing else. And once you make a man think, you're well on the path to progress.
Right, yes.
Jefferson, would you tell us all about yourself and
oh,
what you're doing?
I see, but I had a bit of a set piece.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm very interested in politics. You might think that's a very strange thing for us to be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not interested in politics in a material sense. Although, of course, they must be, inasmuch as they are politics, and therefore they are material, affecting the conditions on earth. But I've been very perturbed, like a lot of more people on this side, with the way things are going in your world. And I'm particularly concerned, naturally, in my own country, at least that which was my own country. And I'm very disturbed indeed.
Yes?
Because I feel that unless something is done very soon, the world could so easily be plunged into a third world war, which would be more ghastly, more dreadful than anything one can imagine. There's still hope. While there's hope, we must make every effort to try to bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel there is hope. And I feel that there's every reason to believe that the worst can be averted.
Yes.
People today are not blind in a sense. They sometimes pretend to be blind, or perhaps they put up the blinkers. Politics is a very weird, strange game, as I know only too well. But it's much worse in this modern generation of yours than in my time. Today everyone is afraid of everyone. Fear is a predominant thing in your world. Everyone is ruled by fear. And yet, I feel, looking as I do from this side, into the minds and the hearts the states and everywhere. There's no desire for war. Every nation, every politician realizes that war would be devastating. No one could win a war. Everyone would suffer, no one would gain. And the extraordinary thing is, everyone realizes that. Everyone realizes the absolute futility of such things, war, that it would not bring any gain to any one person or nation or peoples. And yet there's this fear. Fear of the other man might be a bit stronger than you. And so you have this silly man arms race. This false pride, this illusion, which it is an illusion, that you've got to be stronger than the next man. 50 years ago, it might have been considered very reasonable, very understandable outlook. But today, I think you've got to the point where unless you sit down and solve your problems sensibly, unless you do that and come to right conclusions, some fool, not realizing it, set the world aflame. I think you've got to trust Russia. Whether you like the idea or not, you can't get away from the fact that eventually you've got to start hugging the big bear. It's no good going on the way that states have been going this last 5-10 years. You've got to realize that you've got to live together, you've got to work together, you've got to trade together, you've got to be friends.
Yes. Gentlemen, unfortunately, these people don't understand the universal laws, you see. They don't realize that the more law conditions and thoughts you put out, the more it brings it to you.
I think to some extent that's true, but I imply, I gather that you try to convey to me that that Russia doesn't realize the universal laws. I think what we've got to realize is that who does? Do you think my late country, America, understands the universal laws, individuals here and there? Yes. But generally speaking, no. I mean, the point is we've got to face facts. I'm not advocating any one country above another. I'm only concerned with world peace. The people should get together and be friends, in spite of our differences, which are bound to be, but which can be altered through greater understanding of each other. Point is that man must realize that he can no longer go on in the same way. He's got to come to heel. He's got to realize that the old days are dead. You can't live in the 20th century the way you did in the 19th. You can't act in the same way. You can't even think in the same way. You're living in an age, in a world where you just got to adjust yourselves accordingly. And that doesn't mean to say that you've got to become more materialistic. Until man applies spiritual laws, there's no hope for the future. You might say to me, well, we accept that, we believe that, but knowing that, how can we accept a country like Russia, which you look upon as an atheistic country, generally speaking, with no religious tolerance, in fact, you might say. Well, I think there are so many different ways of seeing this question. One might say, well, look at some of the countries that are Christian. Can you really point to them as being terribly, shall we say, forward or progressive in their thoughts and in their actions, politically speaking, I mean?
Definitely not.
Well, I mean, the whole point is this. I am advocating brotherhood among men. I'm not concerned whether a man's a Buddhist, a Jew, or a Christian. I'm only concerned that he's a human being who realizes he's part of a spiritual purpose, that he's part of the power and the love of God. If he is bound with his brother, Inspector of color, class, or creed, we are all his children. We've got to one day get down to working together in peace and in harmony. And I say to you that the Russian is equally important, equally sincere as an American or a Hindu or a Britisher. We must not judge a nation and its people by its leaders, for if we did, I'm afraid we'd have a pretty poor opinion of them. I know you can say, well, we vote for them. Sure, you vote for them, but you're not responsible for what they do when they get there. Because often they get their votes in their own kind of way, which is far from the things they intend to do or do do when circumstances arise.
Don't you think the good churches are doing a great harm of preaching against Russia all the time?
Well, I think, quite frankly, that not only the churches, I think the newspapers, I think the whole setup. You see, if it were not ridiculous, it's very pathetic. How can you spread goodwill? How can you have goodwill if you're constantly in every way attacking either an individual or a nation? You just got to be more diplomatic, for one thing. Apart from anything else, you're going to have a certain amount of diplomacy. And it seems to me that as far as Russia's concerned, hardly any nation, particularly the so-called great nations, have been at all partial or at all considerate or even kind, generous, and new. I know Russia's made many a mistake. No one's denying that. We all know that. But then again, can you tell me that any other country hasn't made mistakes, many mistakes? We can think back into English history and we can remember and recall things which have happened which are appalling. Equally as bad as many of the things the Russians have been accused of doing.
And yet the Welsh people, as I know, that went to Russia, they've been treated very well.
Sure. I'm not standing up for any one nation. I am concerned with world peace and goodwill among men. And I say that until there is this different approach towards Russia, until there is this realization that Russia wants peace and friendship with the world, he won't make any progress. You just got to accept that. And you must trust someone sometime, otherwise you'll never get anywhere. I know the vast differences.
When you were Mr. Jeffrey in the second, I remember your name very much years ago. Were you in Washington?
I was for a time.
You were president.
You were president.
One time, a long time ago.
You were president.
Yeah.
You look the White House?
Well.
I remember.
I don't feel inclined to talk about it.
Mr. Jackson, you would like to tell us something about your reactions when you passed over. You know how you found yourself.
Well, my reactions when I passed over here were certainly very different to anything I could have possibly anticipated. I suppose, in a kind of way, I had the idea the majority of you have that when you died, you went to some sort of place called heaven, or if you're unlucky, you're in the other place. Well, I don't know, I found myself in an environment here which was so like material life as I'd known it in country that it seemed that I was way back in my youth, inasmuch that I was in an atmosphere of beauty, countryside, scenery which was magnificent. I remember seeing various relations and friends who seemed terribly thrilled, excited, and all crowding around me and welcoming me and showing me around. It was all like a wonderful homecoming into a world which, though new, yet was vaguely familiar. It was as if you might say that the old world that I'd known in my youth had been transported into this new world, as if I was being received into an atmosphere which was natural and quite comforting.
Mm.
What amazed me, of course, at first was that everything seemed so natural. I don't know why one should think that passing out should be unnatural, because in a sense it's the most natural thing that happens to everyone, but here I was in a world which was so real, so natural, that it could have been a kind of dream that one might have had. Thinking back into one's earlier years, one's youth, among one's friends and countryside that was familiar. And in a kind of way, I suppose, you might say it was a kind of dream. Mm-hmm. Because dreams are very real. And I realize now that several times I had dreams on earth which were in fact realities. I realized that those things that I thought were dreams were not so. My spirit had been released from its body, and I traveled over here and meet their souls that I'd known and be in an environment which was familiar and friendly. And so when I died, as you call it, I went into this environment of this conditional life which I'd seen often in my dream state. In other words, I'd arrived home to a place which had become familiar through having, as you term it, dreamed it so often.
Yeah.
Did you able to come back to the earth and visit earth then?
Oh yes, I came back quite frequently the first few years that I used the word time to see how things were going on, see old friends. After a time I got a little bored in there, and I felt, well, here am I trying to make contact, take an interest in the old life. No one seems very interested in me, no one seems conscious of my presence. It all seemed rather pointless somehow, and I got very tired of that. And for quite a while I stepped away from her. But latterly, I felt the call to come back and be of some service. And so, in consequence, I've taken a little active interest in politics, because I realize, as many do here, that it's essential that changes take place in your world.
You can see both sides of the question. I can see how things are reacting in America.
Well, I see the good and the evil on both sides. Yes. That's why I'm quite impartial. Okay. I'm not in any way prejudiced in favor of one nation or the other. I realize that the human beings who constitute nations are individuals, that majority, 999 out of 1,000, are by their very nature sincere, ordinary people. They don't want war. They have nothing to gain by war.
Well, I don't think the majority of people want war in the world. I think they very much would resent war.
One has to get away from false prestige.
Yeah.
Prestige and all the things which one time seemed so important are things of the past. One must get beyond the confines of country and nationality and the worshipping of a flag.
Yeah.
One must realize that you are citizens of the world, that you are children of God, that you're all part of each other, and if you do an evil, it reacts upon someone else and rebounds back upon you. No one can escape from himself.
It's very hard to tell the world that.
Unfortunately, these statesmen, they don't know those things I suggest them.
I know. I know the tragedy is that a few statesmen can plunge the world into catastrophe. And yet they all want to avoid it, and yet they're all heading towards it. Because of fear, because they won't trust anyone, and because often their principles are all wrong. In fact, that goes far as saying that in many instances they are definitely wrong. You've got to get away from this foolish idea of one nation being superior to another.
They don't agree much themselves, you see, that's the problem.
Unfortunately, the world worships material things. Yes. Puts a false value on them. Man's got to realize that the only things that matter are the spiritual things. They're the things that do not rust, do not decay. much importance, though these things may be, when on earth such as wealth and position, they are infinitesimal in themselves. One should realize that one has got to progress mentally and spiritually. And if you're blessed with worldly things, to realize they're only lengthy. They're there for you to use and to share among those less fortunate themselves. But to do as majority do, struggle from birth to grave for money and position, and then have to leave it and have accomplished nothing in consequence, seems to me a pointless and foolish attitude towards life.
Do you think that Mr. Russell will get to the moon and live there?
Well, I wouldn't say they live there, but they may probably get there. But when they come back again, I would not say
it. Are the people living on the moon?
People, as you, well, I suppose you'd call them people, are entities.
On the moon?
On the moon. And on other planets, too. You see, the Earth world for centuries has considered itself the only world. It's always maintained that it's the only form of life, the Earth life. But of course, gradually science is beginning to evolve and make possible contacts in various ways. And I think the time will come when the Earth will realize that they have to become one people, not nations, not separate individuals.
But the Earth world's a little bit too large for its boots, hasn't it?
Well, I'm afraid there's a lot of truth in there, but I just feel that fundamentally the people of the Earth are good. I believe in goodness. I know that the opposite of goodness is evil. But I realize that that which is evil is good, which has gone wrong. I know that the good in man can overcome the worst of parts. And that the average person only wants to do that which is good and right. We all have sins. We all make mistakes. No one's perfect. No one expects you to be. We're not perfect. But we know full well that the human race can and must get together and must work in unison for peace, tranquility of spirit and the development of spirit and for the good of each other.
Have you been to any other planes of existence beyond that?
I've been to many spheres.
Many spheres? In higher spheres?
Well, I have been privileged to go to one higher sphere than my own for a brief visit.
Could you tell me what it was like in a higher plane at all?
Well, it's very difficult because you asked me to tell you something about a sphere which is even removed from myself and far, far removed from Earth. And you asked me to describe something in a material language, and I could think of no way, no words that could really describe it, thinking that it was full of light and that it had such harmony and such beauty that words couldn't describe it. And one was ever conscious of beauty in so many ways. And one felt so elevated in consequence that one felt that one could rise beyond all that one had ever known and all that one had ever hoped. Here there was perfection, if ever there was perfection. And in a kind of way it was so wonderful that one felt like a child that had opened his eyes on something which was so beautiful, so glorious, that you could hardly believe it, except in your gasp of surprise, and your heart would thump away, and you'd sort of feel this is too wonderful, and will it last? There are some things that one cannot describe. There are many things in your world that you witness. Although sometimes perhaps human beings are so used to seeing them that they perhaps not ignore them, but they accept them and they hardly see them in consequence. There are many beauties, glory of a sunset and stars in the sky, all the beauties of nature that you know.
I look out of flowers.
Believe me, exist here but a thousand times more beautiful.
When
flowers grow here 6 feet high, magnificent blossoms, and they give off a ringing tone and a musical note, and the perfume is wonderful.
I can give you a next picture, and I've been writing down what I've been getting, seeing into a most beautiful world. And I've been writing down, as to what you say, I saw flowers about 6 feet high.
They're common here.
Yes.
Flowers go to enormous
and trees of color.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
You see, we have many colors of which you have no knowledge. We have colors here which we couldn't describe to you.
Yes.
The hues are varied, many, and the birds, for instance. We have wonderful birds, many of which you're familiar with, of course, but others that you're not. And, of course, the elemental communication. You see, now you take the animal kingdom in your world. You have a pet animal, a dog, cat, and you get to know it, and it gets to know you. And although it can't speak, it somehow transmits things to you, and you're able to transmit things to it.
Mm-hmm.
And same applies here. But here, because mind is so predominant, here thought is such a reality that the animal can speak. Not in the vocal sense, but in the mental sense.
Yes.
Here the animal isn't as limited as he is on earth. Here we are conscious of each other's thoughts. We don't have to enunciate words or vibrate the atmosphere to create sound to make ourselves known. Automatically we know each other. That's a wonderful thing, and a little frightening at first. But the point is, when you realize that you do know the other person for the very first time. On earth, for instance, you can build up a kind of camouflage, you can facade, and you can be in many ways what you are not to a person. Here you cannot be that. Here you are known really as you are for the first time. At first it's a little frightening, but gradually you begin to progress and you lose a lot of the things which at one time were common to your nature, and you expand and grow. And those things don't worry you so much, but I'm afraid here you can't put up any facade because you are known immediately. You know exactly what a person is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When they first come over, they see a picture of them.
Yeah, yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk to you two again sometime.
Oh,
I know you're doing a very wonderful job. But I do want you to know this, and anyone that may listen to this recording, I want them to know this, that I, in common with every soul on this side, are only concerned with the welfare of the human race. We're only concerned with the spiritual development and progression of the human being.
Yeah.
We are not concerned in any way with material things as such, but we are concerned with the spiritual progress. We have no axe to grind. We, therefore, can see what we feel with all our heart. We don't have to build up any camouflage or facade. We don't have to hide behind something which we are not. We tell you the truth.
Yes.
And we say to you, whoever you are, wherever you may be, work in loving cooperation with the realms of spirit. We will help you, we will guide you and uplift you. Give us the opportunity. Open your hearts and your minds to us. Let us come in.
Yes.
And we will do our utmost to help you individually and collectively.
And
work in peace and in harmony together.
Yes.
Try to see the other man's point of view. Try sometimes to step down from your own pedestal to meet him halfway.
Yes.
That's the only way of peace. Don't imagine that you are superior,
yeah,
because those who are most humble are often those who are most progressed.
Yeah.
Love opens the door, and we know that if you open that door a little way, it can gradually be pushed wide open, that all may enter and all may be in harmony together.
Yeah.
All is well, my friends, while you strive in sincerity and truth to do that which is just, honest, and righteous. No, we won't fail you, for that which we've undertaken on your behalf is for the world, for the good of humanity, that each brother may indeed live in peace and grow in knowledge and experience and the world might find a path to freedom, spiritually.
Thank you, Mr. Bless you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye,
thank you, sir. I'll come again sometime. Bye-bye.
Goodbye,
Mr. Bye. Thank you so much.
He's good, isn't he?